Morning. Welcome to Sunday morning service in South Carolina. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
Jesus, for another morning in your presence, another day in your service. Please accept our worship, Lord. And if any of us are carrying sin and things that we've had a difficult time shaking, we lay it before you now with total confidence in your love. Amen.
Sing of your love forever. is foolishness, I know.
But when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now.
Over the mountains and the sea,
your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart
and let the healing set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth,
and I will daily lift my hands,
for I will always sing
of when you're looking down. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love.
I know,
but when the world has seen the light,
they will dance with joy like we're dancing now.
I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of
morning. Welcome. Welcome to everybody here at Grace Chapel, South Carolina, and those of you listening online presently and in the future. Had a bit of a long week myself. I'm sure many of you have had them, whether it was this last one or one before or whichever, but in a long week, you find yourself faced with many challenges. You find yourself in the flesh getting tired, just running out of fight, just not sure that you can carry on and keep going. It's a hard thing to overcome in many instances, because if you're anything like me, you get stuck in that. And you get this narrow-minded focus, which would be great if it were on the Lord, but that focus is on yourself, and you don't see the Lord standing there, looking to help you out of that situation, looking to lift you up. But He's there. All you got to do is seek Him. Ask for some help. Rise above the circumstance. We get bogged down in all of these different things in the world. It says He's overcome the world. So if you be in Him, you be above the world. For me, it takes a little bit, probably because I'm stubborn, hard-headed, thick-skulled, throwing a little bit of idiot. But when I finally realize that, and I go, man, I done it again. Doggone it, as folks down here in South Carolina say. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you for showing me that. Now I have the opportunity to make the choice. Am I going to go there again? Or am I going to avoid that? Praise God, His grace is sufficient. And I have the opportunity to make that choice the next day or the next minute or the next hour and continue to push forward and move on. Jesus gives us a standard, a set of ideals that we must adhere to. Like any good teacher, any good master, he tells you what's expected of you. Doesn't play hide the ball, doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's all right there before each and every one of us. The devil, on the other hand, he doesn't really have a standard now, except for maybe anything but Jesus' standard is his standard, which is a great big wide swath. Huge. You fall into that category by default. You see that out there in the world. You see everybody, why aren't you open-minded? Well, word says I should be narrow-minded. Oh, but that's old. That's from way back when. That doesn't apply today. Oh, but it does. Because the only standard that matters and the only standard with which you should measure yourself is Jesus. Now I know, even in my lifetime, products, things that we buy, they're made to a lesser standard now. They're junk. They're disposable. A lot of things, you can't even repair them. It's more cost effective just to throw it away and get another one from China. Isn't that what they're doing with God's word? They're coming up with new standards, new changes, modern interpretations, and all this nonsense. It's this newfangled veneer that if it was sitting out in the rain, it'd get all warped and crumbled. But I tell you what, you pull out the word of God, if it gets wet, you just wipe it down and keep going. In many cases, the antiques are those which hold the value. Where in your life do you call God a liar? Where? There's got to be a place. Doesn't have to be, I guess. But I suspect that there's a place. Because he gave you this word. He gave you this standard. He said, believe it. What in there don't you believe? What is it that you think's wrong? Why are you calling God a liar? Is it your own pride? Are you judging him? You think you know better? Those are all lies of the devil. We know that he's the father of all lies. Don't join yourself with him. Believe his word. He is trustworthy. The word is true. If you believe him, like Abraham did, like Moses did, like other great men of the Bible, you can mightily serve him and you will be blessed. Period. If you don't, you'll be cursed. Black and white. There you go. You either take the whole thing and believe it, or none of it. Can't take part. can take pieces. And that's the truth. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Philippians. Let's look in Philippians 2. Verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now, Paul actually says this to Corinthians too, a few different words, but the same thought in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. It's pretty important. If you fancy yourself to be part of the body of Christ, you can't have all little body parts off doing their own thing. You know, the body doesn't function well at best, and at worst, it dies. Now, I've got some body parts here that occasionally do their own thing, and that's not good. Really throws everything in disarray. I want to come back to Philippians. I hope.
Something Scott said hit me. And it's one of those truths that doesn't really testify well against me. It does testify well against me. It's just, it doesn't feel well when it's doing it. He said it was a real tiring week. Well, my mind went to Isaiah 40. There's a reminder there that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Time to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Break it down, Brother Paul.
The question then comes, are you serving the Lord? Are you waiting on the Lord? This verse says you're not going to get tired. So if you're operating on your own agenda, you're going to wear out. But I can recall some really long days and nights, but they were filled with anticipation and the joy of the Lord and the fellowship of the saints, and it just blew by. You know, they were so enjoyable, I didn't even notice how tired I was, if I was. And I'm sure I was, because at the end of all that, I crashed, you know, for a long time. But that was just renewing my strength. That was the word. But it's not just talking about finally being able to get rest. It's talking about in the midst of serving the Lord and doing His agenda, carrying out His word, carrying out His work. And what you find is He's faithful. When you start hitting on what it means to serve Him and doing it, His word's true. And it's part of His provision for you. What a good verse. You know, the requirements of our Lord, like He says in Matthew, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The requirements are just that you learn of Him. See how He did things and imitate it. Love God and love one another. Very easy. A deliverance out of bondage. Now, sometimes we forget that. But just like simply trust in the Lord to renew your strength, it's hard to trust that when you're not serving the Lord. When you're doing your own thing. To, you know, the end of which is there's a certain desperation, and you go to the Lord and say, look here, man, my heart's not right. I keep doing the same stuff over and over again, and I know it's wrong. Help me, Lord. He will respond to that. That's essentially the Psalm 51 prayer of David. It was the same sort of thing. My heart's not right. And had not been for his absolute trust in and reliance on the Lord, there's no telling what would have happened. But he trusted in the Lord, and the Lord delivered. Ministered grace and mercy in the midst of, by every indication, a failure in the natural. A king who deserved not to be king anymore. But the Lord yet relented, and he was good to him. But his heart, the testimony of Scripture is that his heart was after the Lord. That means anytime there was a question, he went to the Lord. Anytime he needed instruction, he went to the Lord. Anytime he needed to be delivered in a battle, he went to the Lord. A couple examples of such things that he didn't do that with, and they didn't work out so well. But when he did, and it's a place of humility. As I go back to the, of one mind, of one accord, having the same love, being like-minded. What is the like-mindedness? If you go into the next verse, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. It's humility. You eat up with pride when you're doing your own thing, and you're still expecting that the body's not going to reject you. If you're doing your own thing, you're not profiting the body at all. It's like putting a transplanted heart in somebody and having it go, you know what? It's too much work to pump blood through this body. I'm just going to sit here. Doesn't work, does it? The only way to shake that pride is to choose to believe the word. To choose however many times you need to. The position of being lowliness of mind, esteeming others better than themselves. That's where things work. That's where you're not beholden to that pride. That's not where you're bound in a bondage sense. They're unfruitful and unprofitable outcomes of operating in the flesh. To the end. And then kind of the New Testament thought that reminds me of the way David was in Psalm 51 is further down here in verse 13. To the degree my heart isn't right, to the degree I have let iniquity rule, to the degree that I meet up with unbelief. He's bailing us out every day because it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's just not, you don't have it. And you need it. So this is one thing you need to be praying about every day. It's the only way the body here is ever going to be profitable. We have to overcome our own agendas. We have to be speaking one mind. We have to be utilizing the line of authority We have to be thankful for it. It's what keeps us from being one chaotic bunch of body parts all doing their own thing. It's good for us, and it's profitable for us to see that we utilize it. And when your heart is there, you don't have such a hard time with the next verse, do all things without murmuring and disputing. You know, you can disagree with something somebody has you doing without openly challenging them and their authority and their intelligence and, you know, parental background. You don't have to go there. But there's no requirement necessarily that you agree with an instruction. All that there's required of is that you do it. You're not going to agree with everything necessarily. Hopefully will. Because what you don't agree with is that pride coming back and convincing you that you got a better way. You know better. And as we have discussed, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. And His way is the way. And He's not going to do it any other way. And His way is what we sit here learning about every week, every twice a week, four times on Sunday. Every day if you read His word. He tells you what His way is and He doesn't deviate from it. He has no confusion. We don't have to live in that confusion and bondage to pride and presumption and arrogance. We can pursue that lowliness of mind. It's a choice we make. You got two choices. You can choose to do that, or you can have the Lord humble you. I've been on the receiving end of some humiliation. I prefer to humble myself. But you know, Lord, in His goodness, He makes a way. And I just want to point one more thing out in Philippians and I'm done. In chapter 3, verse 10, all this stuff that Paul had accomplished and acquired and the letters and accolades and being a perfect Pharisee, Pharisee of Pharisees. By this time where he's writing to the Philippians, the best thing in his life was that he may know Him. That's Jesus Christ. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's why you want to be conformable to His death, because He rose again. He's not dead. That's our hope, man. That's His promise. That's our deliverance.
Good morning. Praise the Lord, everybody. Man, there was a lot I listened to this morning, and Paul, you hit a few things. I mean, that was a good point. The Lord talking about renewing your strength. And it is just that. And what we find ourselves in a lot of time, we'll be exhausted, beat down, and all these things, and what we end up receiving is the things of what the world has, and we're trying to operate in the world, and we just get beat down, man. I like that. Better check yourself before you wreck yourself, man. What are you doing? Are you really seeking and searching to serve Him? Are you about doing your own agenda? Are you about doing your own agenda? One of the things is, you're talking about, Paul, you're talking about not agreeing with something. Am I not agreeing with something? And there's a difference between just being obedient to something and actually submitting to something. Submitting, when you submit unto God, you submit unto the Word of God, you submit unto it, you agree with the Word of God. You agree with it. And you go forward in it. And you trust Him in it, because it's all about Him and what He's done. And no matter what it is, the task at hand given to you, whether you agree with it or it's not a task at hand, or going about a certain way and you don't agree with it, choose to. Might be the most idiotic thing you ever heard of or thought in your life, but look at the children of Israel marching around the walls of Jericho. Look at Abraham saying, oh, well, you know, Isaac is through, the promise through Isaac. God tells him, go kill him. Sacrifice him. I mean, does these things make sense in the natural? No. Don't make any sense at all. None. Lord, honor it. Did the Lord honor it? Yeah, He honored it. Was it Elijah that told that woman, feed me? After the rain stopped coming? Elijah? What did I say? Huh. All right. Oh, praise God. You know, told her, feed me first. What are you talking about? This is the last food I have. But you sit there and you see what she had to do. And you know what the Lord told Elijah is, Elijah said, I commanded her to feed you. So he's going just like the ravens did. And he's going and goes to her, all right, feed me. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm going to feed my son and me, and then we're going to go die. Remember, see, that's how we are. See, the ravens actually listened to the Lord. The woman wasn't. Right. But did she obey? Yes, she obeyed. Did she live? Yes, she lived. I can read through it and go into detail about all what happened. I kind of forget myself, but I know it worked out. See, that's the Lord's way. And I remember the time, and it was Scott Stevens back a long time ago. Scott Stevens testifying of Davey telling him to go build this chapel, right? Build this chapel. I want it done this way. I want it done this way. And he, you know, Scott, he built his own house that was like, Scott built his own house with his own battery pack. I mean, he had this thing running off the grid, and it was awesome as far as what I've heard. So does he know something about building? Absolutely. So David goes tell him to build this rolling chapter his way, and he's going, huh? What? Like that? Yeah, like that. Okay. Man, that thing lasted a long time. I think it's still out there in Texas right now. I mean, those are years. I don't know how long it's been. But then it's out in Texas, which you got the drier and a bone and wants to suck all the anything wood and wants to just tear apart. Suck it dry, tear it apart. But praise the Lord. When we go and we, what we have and where we're at, and if we want to go forward as His body, it's yes, Lord. That's where it starts. Yes, Lord. See, you want the promises of God. A lot of times people accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, but not their Lord when it comes down to it. And what happens when you just accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you hinder Him from moving forward in your life and also in others and you being part of that body. That's what happens. Because what happens, just like the children of Israel, where they had the promises shown before them and was given to them and His power was right there manifested in front of them, they would not go forward in faith. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to go back to Israel or back to Egypt where it was comfortable. They were not willing to go forward in the promise of God, which was far better than the bondage that they had, but they wanted to keep the other thing because it was familiar to them. It was familiar to them. Now, how are we any different in that? Really not. We're right there. I mean, the choice is for us to make today, right now. See, look, the Lord died on the cross. God gave His only begotten Son to us that we may have life in Him. And we are shown and it was manifested in our lives what the Lord has done for us and how He's there and He's available. But then we want to go about doing our own thing and our own agenda and things don't work out. Things go haywire. They fall apart all around you. And you're all about your own agenda and you wonder why. It's because you stepped out of the Lord's plan. I mean, He has a plan right here. He's saying, come on, get involved. And you say, okay, yeah. And you step into it and say, oh man, that's scary. And you walk right, run back out. And then you go, man, this really is terrible out here. Well, get back in His plan. Get back in His plan. And you jump back in His plan. Things above you can ask or think happens. And you go, wow, the Lord's good. Well, you already should have known that, dummy. Now stay on it. But it's easy to get swayed from one way or another. Easily. What does it say, this sin that does not come very easily? Does it say that? No, it says so easily besets us. So easily besets us. But we talked about Hannah not too long ago. This is an interesting thing. So Hannah comes up to Eli and, you know, or goes before the Lord. Eli answers, says, look, Lord's going to answer your prayer. You're going to, you know, this promise is going to happen to you. Notwithstanding that Eli, there was judgment that fell on Eli because Eli was in the wrong place. Notwithstanding that, it was his office. It didn't matter how Eli was. It doesn't matter if he was screwed up or all the problems that he had and he didn't do as the Lord said and he honored his sons before the Lord and judgment came upon him, it didn't matter. At that time, he was holding the priest office, but she had a faith in God. So it really doesn't matter if somebody is holding an office over there. You believe, you trust God. Watch him answer that faithfulness. Watch him answer that faithfulness. Amen. Lord will deal with him however he sees fit. It's not your concern. Don't worry about it. And she got blessed mightily. But see, you know what? She made a promise to the Lord. She made a promise to the Lord. Remember that promise? What was that promise? That promise was, I will give you my son if you give me one. You give me a man child, I'll give him to you, Lord. I promise you that. Lord says, okay. Now, did the Lord knew what she was going to do? No. But he honored that prayer. He honored that prayer. He honored that faith that Hannah had. And she, when she got the promise, she went and grabbed a hold of it like she already had it. Counseling wasn't sad. She started eating. Remember that? Now, what did she do? She turned and gave that child to the Lord like she had promised. And what happened was abundantly above she can ask or think. I think it was, what, 5 more children that happened? 5 more children she had that was for her. Lord honored her faithfulness as well. Now, see, a lot of times we get stuck on that point where we cry out on the Lord. The Lord answers our prayer. And we say, Lord, we're going to serve you, Lord. And what happens is, he answers our prayer, he delivers us out of this situation, and then we're like, shiny thing, all of a sudden. Stop serving the Lord. We're not giving that man child to the Lord, right? That's ours. That's ours. And the Lord can't honor that. The Lord can't honor that. And see, we do this with our life. See, we do this with our life all the time. And then we wonder when things just go completely awry. And it's not because of him. It's because you stepped out of his plan. You went to go about doing your own thing, your own agenda, your own plan. And do you remember what your plan got you ended up with? Mine got me death. And it almost destroyed me and took me down to hell. That was my plan, and then you got to remember, I mean, oh my gosh, do I really want my own plan? No, it was terrible. But see, if you want the Lord to move mightily in your life and in others, lay it down. Lay everything down. Anything that becomes before the Lord, lay it down. Now, I'm not going and saying, go and sell this, sell that, sell the other. But if the Lord told you to do it, go do it. Go do it. Trust Him. He'll take care of you. He's already shown you He has. He's already shown you He's been there. He's already shown you He's at hand. But if we're going to move together as a body, as a unit, we're going to be like-minded. We're going to submit ourselves unto Him. Love God, love one another. Lord gives us a line of authority, and that tells us all the time. I mean, it's just like a natural checkpost for us, isn't it? Natural checkpost for us, isn't it? We could think in our mind, yeah, man, I'm loving God, I'm loving one another. Oh my, I want you to go do this. What? That's stupid. What? That's too hard. What? That's too big. I can't. No, what you're saying is, I won't. And then we want to turn around and call them, Lord, no, you're adulterer and adulteresses. That's what you are when you do it. You take on his name, you go about your own thing. It's idolatry. And that thing will creep in all kinds of different ways. But see, if we really believed on Jesus as Abraham, we'll be taking the son that we had as he was commanded and saying, okay, Lord, you said sacrifice him. I know the promise through him. I believe you. I trust you. I'm going to go do it. I want you to go take on an army. But when you take out that army, I want you to go around the wall singing, praising, shouting at it. Wait till the sound of the trumpet. Do this. Don't say anything else. You believe and trust God, that's what you're going to do. But man, we get caught up in our own pride so much and our own understanding, man, and we hold that on our own understanding and we hold it so high, we hold it higher than the Lord, and we wonder why the Lord can't move in that situation. Well, that's why. Hold the Lord on high. Cast down that old and lean not on thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord, lean not on thine own understanding. Cast that down, man. Watch him move. And in the midst of it, just looking flip side upside down, and you're trusting and you got your focus on him, it don't matter, because at the end of it, watch him work that thing that he promised he'd work. And how it goes about doing it, who cares? It's usually something that we could have never imagined how it would happen, but it ends up turning around, and it just makes it more the case that, well, you did a good job. No, are you kidding me? I didn't. Look what the Lord did. Praise God. You know what? You can be a part of him. You can be a part of that plan. It's awesome. It's an awesome thing. But that's a choice you make. I can remember many things of being told and challenges before me from Steve or Davey or the case may be, and I'm going, are you kidding me? You want me to, what? I can't do that. Look at me. Phil, I know you can't do it. Never said you could. In your flesh. The Lord can do that. The Lord can perform that in you. Do you trust him? Do you believe him? Well, let me see it. Let me see that you trust him. Let me see that you believe him. And when you go and you take that step of faith and trusting and believing him, he works something out and you go, oh, wow, praise God. Steve or David might say, told you so. See, because it's all about him. What he has done, what he's able to accomplish. And we're just right there saying, and it's just, we're right there available to be part of his plan. Are we going to choose to be a part of that plan? Are we going to choose to believe on Jesus Christ as Abraham did, as the second generation did, as Isaac did, as Jacob? Are we going to choose to believe him in these things? Not like the devils. They believe, they fear and tremble. No, but you believe his word. You believe his promises. You trust him to the point where you obey him. And you submit unto him. And then abundantly above you can ask or think. We're his body. We're the church. What is it that you want? Do you want to be a part of that body or do you not? There's no riding the fence. It's either you do or you don't. You want to see people come into the fold? Do you want to give others opportunity to come into that fold and to know Jesus Christ? If you do, you're going to obey Him and submit unto Him. And watch Him work wonders, man. Recognizing in yourself that there's no good thing. The only good thing that is in me is Jesus Christ. That's it. Nothing else will stand. All else will fail. But He's given us that victory. He's passed it right on unto us. It's right there for our taking. Are we going to believe Him? Grab a hold on it? By doing that, you got to let your old life go. You got to let your agenda go. You got to let the things that you want and you desire that are not of Him, that come before Him, you got to cast them down. You got to trot them under your feet. You got to say, bye-bye, I don't want it anymore. Because nothing matters, Lord, but You. But You. And you get rid of all that garbage and you come out free. You know, we think we're losing a lot of things, but we're not. We're gaining everything in Him. What you're losing is the death and destruction in the prison cell trapped around your soul. And you can go and you can walk free in Him. But see, your carnal mind, the enemy wants to tell you, oh, you're going to lose so much. No, you're not. You're going to lose that thing that's going to kill you. He's good. Man, I beseech you. Get in your closet. Get rid of those things that's been holding you down for years. Get rid of those things that's been holding you back from going forward in Him. Get rid of the idolatry. Get rid of that prison cell. Get rid of it. And become free in Him. And anybody can do that. Anybody in this room can do that. And become the minister that He's called you to be. And part of that body that He's called you to be. All you got to do is choose to trust Him and Him in His way, and watch those chains fall off. Amen.